encourage me to wear mine. It's a pedometer, and it keeps up your steps. So, you know, you walk so many steps for so long, you get something from insurance. I don't know. So what I do, I'll take my $300 and I'll just turn loose. So if a dog turns from your house with a pedometer on it, it's my dog. I like a bazillion steps at the trail. I kill everybody's girl. So, but I always like watch. I'm a guy that I don't think how I watch on. Like a lot of folks will transition to using their cell phones or watch. I need something on my wrist. I don't know if it's well raised, but what I'm used to. But if I don't have something here, I don't feel right. But yet I break every watch I ever had. It's a matter of time for this to be eaten by something or destroyed. So I've stopped buying expensive watches years ago. I buy every watch I've owned the last 20 years has been the cheap $10 Walmart watch. Because I'm going to break it. I'm not going to spend money on get a break. So I'll go to Walmart and I'll buy $10 in the last 2 years and I'll buy another one. That's just what I do. Because I know me. I like a watch, but I'm not going to destroy one. So I've got this thing. We'll see how long this lasts. Right now I'm at 2,600 steps. Boom. I need to open the dog if you want to hear. All right, put your children. Anybody got active children out? Strap the back of their back. Time is interesting, but I've got to have this watch. I've got to have this watch on me to feel complete. Because my life is run by my schedule. The reason why I've got this on is because my life is run by a schedule. This right here runs my life. And I don't mean in terms of communication, which it does, and in terms of texting and Facebook and emailing, but in terms of my calendar. Because I know me. And if I don't put things in my calendar, even small, trivial things, it's not going to get done. That thing holds my life in it. Everything I do. And I'm going to guess, for most of us, that's how our lives are. There is some thing that drives your schedule. Now, that thing could be really important. It could be a medical condition that means you must go to the doctor every so often and make sure that you get checked in. Yeah, you know what? If you've got a doctor's appointment that your life depends on, you're not going to miss it. It's going to drive your schedule. That thing could be your children's schedule. Going from here to there and getting taxi service and all these type of activities. That could be your thing. Your thing could be your job. Your job demands that you be here and there at certain times. Yeah, that is going on. I'm not saying this is a bad thing. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying we've all got a thing that drives our schedule. It could be sports. I mean, it could be football. I mean, it could be whatever. That's okay. And we all have things that drive our time, that drive our schedule. That's simply all. That's part of living. It's not bad. It just is. Time is interesting. Time's a very interesting thing. We're in this season called peace. Season of Advent. We talk a lot about peace. It's funny, as I began to prepare and write and read and get ready for this series, I kept going back to the word peace. I kept going back to the word peace because the reality of it is we read and we sing. And we talk about peace. And as you ask us, do you have peace? We're going to say, yeah, we're going to get the Christian answer. Yeah, I've got peace. Yeah, man, gee, God's good. Yes, he is. That's the Christian answer. We've got to give it. What's your real answer? Not your Christian answer. What's your real answer? Do we have peace? I don't know. Most always. When you look at the world, look at our schedules, look at our responsibilities, look at our lives. And yeah, we consider it, yeah, everything's, you know, we've got a peaceful, easy feeling. You know, or we can be honest and say, I don't know sometimes. Well, last week, we talked about how peace is not a concept, some ethereal, unknowable, untouchable concept that we can't attain. And we talk about peace was not a circumstance, but our peace is a relationship with Christ. And so we often in our lives mistake the circumstances of our life for peace. So when things are good, we have peace. When things are bad, we don't have peace. The reality of it is, man, if things are good right now, it's not going to last forever. If your life and your circumstances are great, it's something bad's going to happen. It just is. And if your life is terrible, something good's going to happen. I mean, circumstances ebb and flow. Circumstances are up and down. Circumstances are cycling. That's okay. It happens. If your peace is in your circumstance, if your peace is in the stuff of your life, then you're going to have good times, bad times, and it's going to be all over the way. You're going to be like a fish walking out of water. But if your peace is in Jesus, your relationship with Jesus, you're going to have some hope and some peace even when things are bad. Peace is not a circumstance. Peace is a person. Well, today, how do we have peace with our schedules? How do we have peace with our time? How do we, in this crazy, hectic, mixed up, messed up world where we have so many things on top of us, how do we have peace with all of this? In the Bible, time is an interesting thing. You see, there are various periods of time that are recorded in the Bible. 40 of them. Noah was in the ark for 40 days. The Israelites wandered for 40 years. The Jews were in exile for 40 years. Jesus was in the desert being tempted for 40 days. You see 40. Over and over and over in the Bible. It's a very important symbolic time. 40 is across the Bible. You also see in the Bible 3. Every going through the Exodus, and through the Exodus, the Jews want to go worship 3 days from here. And you'll always see everything happening on the third day. It's very interesting. You look at the whole of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, the importance of things happening on the third day. Why? Well, it's pointing towards the third day when Jesus was resurrected. So we see the importance of time. And there are people who are a lot smarter about this than I am. But we see that these time factors matter. But it isn't just time factors. It isn't just quantity of time. But it's time itself. It's scheduling. It's these things. What do I mean by that? If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Galatians. Let me read this morning from Galatians. From Galatians chapter 4, verses 3 through 7. From Galatians chapter 4, verses 3 through 7. We see this. It says, in the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you were sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. If the Son, then an heir through God. Back to that verse about the fullness of time. It says here, it says in the same way, it's when the fullness of time comes. In the fullness of time. Okay, that's a bit. What does that mean? Okay. What that means is this. At just the right moment. Y'all, it was by no accident Jesus was born when He was born, where He was born, and to whom He was born. In the Advent camp, we talked about Mary and Joseph. And next week, we're going to talk about, as the great theologian John Lennon once said, life will happen when you make plans. Next week, we're going to talk about how the world blew up, how God blew up Mary and Joseph's plans with Jesus. They had plans, and then, Jesus, okay, cool. Today, we're talking about how this time, y'all, it was by no accident. It was by no accident that Jesus was born, where He was born, when He was born, to whom He was born. There are no accidents in God's plan. There are no accidents in God's time. This is not random happenstance. This is not some great accident. This is purposeful. There's a plan behind this. So, in the fullness of time, what does that mean? Okay. If you go to that part of the world. You have, I wish I had a whiteboard I could draw. I'm a really good drawer. I'm as good a drawer as I am a hand writer. My handwriting's not godlike. It's terrible. I write in unknown tongues. It's not good. But you have Europe here, Africa and Asia over here. The only way you're getting from Europe, where Rome and Greece are, and they're the big boys, the way you get from Rome and Greece to Africa and Asia, where the good stuff is, there's this one little strip of land. You go to where Israel is, and there's a mountain range right through the middle of it. On the east side, there's desert. On the west side, there's green grass. It's fertile. It's easy to travel. It's easy to get through. The only way, the only easy way there was to get from Athens in Greece, to get to from Rome, the Roman Empire, to Africa, i.e. Egypt, or Asia, i.e. India, was the past of Israel. That's why Israel was the most fought over spot in all of the world. The Valley of Megiddo, Armageddon, that plot of land has had more blood shed on it than any spot of land in all the world. That little strip of land, probably more than 40 miles wide, is the most fought over piece of real estate on God's earth. You ask the realtors, what's important for selling a house? Location, location, location. Well, Israel is location, location, location. It was the internet before the internet. It was how everything went through. Well, okay. Jesus Christ was born there at the height of the real first superpower in world history, where that was all over the world. And the only way you could get from where Rome was to where the good stuff was to go to Israel. That's right where God had Jesus born. At that time, at that place, to those people. Because with that, there was no doubt that the message of Christ was going to spread throughout the entire world. The Roman government was the backbone for most of Western civilization for 2,000 years. When Jesus was born, right smack dab in the middle of it, at its height. It was by no accident. It wasn't happenstance. It wasn't coincidence. It was God's plan. There are no accidents with God. In the fullness of time. Why did God wait 400 years? From there to Jesus. Because the time was right. God's the master chef. He knows when the time's right. See, I don't like spaghetti, never have. I used to like it, not a lot anymore. Your taste changes for centimeters, they say. One time I tried to make spaghetti and it went real well. I'll make a spaghetti. You know how you tell the noodles already, right? Throw them all. When you take a noodle, throw them all. If it sticks, then it's ready. If it doesn't stick, it's not ready. How many of us in our life thought about throwing spaghetti on the wall? See how it sticks. In God's plan, in God's time, we don't have to throw spaghetti on the wall. In our time, in our plan, how many of us feel like we're always throwing spaghetti on the wall, see how it sticks? Throwing spaghetti on the wall, see how it sticks. The Bible has two words for time. One is chronos. That's the root word for chronology. That is your schedule. That is your time. That is your plans. That's your stuff. Today is, December 7th, 2014, Pearl Harbor Day. We're thankful for our veterans on this day, but we went to see Holly's grandfather yesterday. He fought World War II. It was interesting to see him talk about World War II, and his eyes lit up. He started telling stories about the war. We're so thankful for our veterans that fought them, but also those that fight and serve today. So today is December 7th, Pearl Harbor Day. Chronology. Tomorrow is December 8th. Chronology. I've got a meeting at such and such time, and I've got to go to Jack's this week, and I've got this, and I've got that, and we've got schedules, and we've got events, we've got calendars, we've got our chronology. You've got to be at work, you've got to go, you've got stuff. That's your schedule. That's okay, that's what it is. You've got your chronology. That is the time that drives our lives. Our watches, our chronology. That's what drives our time. That's what drives our life. It is. That's not the fullness of time. The fullness of time is Kairos. That's God's time. That's God's time. God's time says it may take 400 years to get from the prophet to the Messiah. God's time, it says it may take 40 years of wandering the desert to get from the prophet to Egypt, the promised land. The Kairos says it may take. It may take 40 years of exile. It may take 40 days in a boat. It may take all these things. God's time is not our time. The frustrating thing is we want Kairos, we want God's time to be in our time. We want from Kairos to go into chronology. We want God's schedule to fit our schedule. Come on, God. If you just give us a plan, we can do something. I've got places to go and things to do. God, if you just give them my schedule, God, if you just get on my page, we can do something. But no, you got to do your own thing. Come on, God. We ain't got time for that. Is that how you feel? That's how I feel. If God would just hurry up and bless my plans, let me do what I'm going to do, we can do something. I say that kind of facetiously. But if we're going to give our real answer, not our Christian answer, that's probably how we feel sometimes. The problem is we want God's time to fit on our time. And that's not the way it works. See, when you go read in Jesus' gospel, in John's gospel, we see a great example of what that looks like with Lazarus. You see in that story, Lazarus died. The Bible says Jesus was one day's journey away. Jesus was one day's journey away. And yet he showed up 4 days late. And when he gets there, Mary and Martha are like, dude, if you'd have just got here on time, it wasn't like you were that far away. If you'd have gotten here on time, our brother would not have died. If you would have just showed up when you were supposed to show up, then this wouldn't have happened. But no, you're late. And now our brother's dead. If you just would have gotten here and you were supposed to get here, you wouldn't have had this problem. Well, Jesus was late, you know why? He had a better time and a better plan. And Mary and Martha's plan. They wanted to save the brother's life. They wanted to resurrect the brother's life. Jesus' plan is way better than our plan. God's time is always better than our time. And man, that sounds good in a vacuum, doesn't it? It's just stinking hard to live out in. It's just stinking hard to orient our chronology, orient our schedule towards God's time. So what do we do? There are no accidents in time. The difficult thing about Kairos time, about God's time, is that we're not driving the bus. See, I like my schedule because it makes me feel like I'm in control. Because I always tell folks, what do you lunch? Yeah, let's do lunch. My schedule's flexible. Because my schedule's busy, but it's flexible. I can always move stuff around. My schedule's like a jigsaw puzzle. I can move things around. I can make time. I bought to the myth of my own control. I'm in charge. And I don't like God's time because I'm not in charge. And I like to be in charge. And God's like, no. When will you stop kicking? When will you stop fighting and just let me be in control? And the thing that's so often in our life that keeps us from knowing God's will, from getting God's will, and from living in God's will is that we will not give over control of our life to God. And until you give over control of your life to God, you will never know His will. Ever. You won't. You'll get glimpses. You'll get Name me one person in Scripture that does what they want to do repeatedly, that God then says, okay, cool, we're going to do it your way. No. And I don't like that because I like being in control. And it terrifies me not to be in control. I hate it. Because that makes me trust. I want to trust only in charge. Kairos, God's time, demands that we give over control. So what do we do? I think there's three things. First is we learn to wait. You know, most of these sermons fixate here, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but we learn to wait on God's time. We learn to wait on God's plan. And that's where most of these sermons stay, is right there. We learn to wait. That's true, by the way. That's true, y'all. We've got to learn to wait. We do. We've got to learn to be patient. We've got to learn to cool our jets, to keep our powder dry, to wait. To wait until God's time. To wait. I don't like to wait. I think with Holly all the time, I'm not a very good person. My wife is much, I'm really impatient. But I like to buy her presents for her birthday and things and then tell her I bought them and then I give them to her and make her wait for them. Because I'm not a good person. And she'll say, well, can I have it now? I don't know if I give it to you now, but it'll be a birthday gift for you, so you gotta wait. The whole time egging her along. One day she says, one thing she's gonna snap, and who can blame her? But we want it now, don't we? We want it now. We want it now. Whatever it is, we want it now. Well, maybe the reason why it's not now is because it's not time. It's not the fullness of time. It's not God's moment. If we get it now, it might be the worst thing for us. You know, I truly believe that God's guided my path to this point in my life. And if God had given me some of the stuff that I wanted 20 years ago, then I wouldn't have been ready for it. If the answer to your prayer is wait or no, then you've got to know this for your own benefit. You might not need it now. You might not be ready for it now. There's lots of stuff that I'd like that I'm not ready for right now. If God's answer to you is wait, there's a reason. We don't like that. But we know that. I mean, like, we know we need to wait. We get that part. So I'm not going to spend this time there. Just wait. If you know it's God's, not God's time, then wait. Here's the other one. I don't think the struggles like that. That makes us feel good. We struggle with that. But I think the better thing is this. Sometimes it's God's job, God's time to do something. We don't want to do it. For Christmas this year, we'd always do Christmas with Holly's family for the first weekend of December. So we went over and did our Christmas with her family. You know what I got for her mother and father? I got an alarm clock on the wheels. Like, it runs for me. Seriously. Like, you put it, it starts going off, you got to chase it to turn it off. You got to get out of your bed and chase it from R2, she's going to kill me because I'm just going to ignore it. But like, you got to chase it down. You got to go get it. It's tough, you knock off stuff and run over things, it's great. So everyone, now I have to, this alarm clock's going to go off and I'm just going to chase it down the hallway and I'm going to turn it off. And I need that, you know why? Man, because my bed's cold. I love my bed. It's so warm and cozy. I've got a pillow and an electric blanket, and I can pull it up. I love my bed. My bed's awesome. I love my bed. Now I'm going to get out of it because it's awesome. And so to get out of my bed when it's cold, I ain't get out of my bed. So I need an alarm clock that's going to run here to county. To, you know, that'll make me. That's the only thing I'm going to get out of my bed. Is that right there? I don't want to move. I need something to make me move. I think sometimes we're more comfortable waiting on God than we are moving for God. Because we're comfortable. We've got the pillow pulled up to our neck. Oh, it just feels so good to be in His love. Oh, it feels so warm. God's love is like an electric blanket. It's great. Get out of that. Go do something. Uh-huh. I've got on fuzzy socks. I ain't moving. Cozy. God's will for you is not your happiness. That's not His ultimate will for you. God's not a magic genie. God's will for you ultimately is not your happiness. God's will for you is for you to have life eternally and abundantly, now and forever. So God wants you to move. God wants you to move. When God calls you to move, move. When God calls you to jump, jump at the right time. When I was in college, I took a class called adventure-based counseling where we had to, I'm not sure it was before, we had to, it's a class where we did therapy, like it was a therapy class, and we did ropes courses and we talked about it. And so we had to do all these ropes courses. The teacher had a ropes course in his backyard. It was awesome. And there's one thing we did, we had to climb a little light pole, or a harness steel thing, climb a little light pole, and there's a trapeze bar that swung. We had to jump from the top of the light pole, this trapeze bar. He hadn't timed it just right. He didn't move more than it. And the point of this thing was, at the right time, you got to jump. So often we don't have peace. We don't have peace because God is screaming with every fiber of His sovereign being, jump! Jump! Do something! Jump! More like the fuzzy slippers. Fuzzy, I got an electric blanket. Why am I going to jump? God, I'm comfortable. God's desire for you is not your eternal comfort. God's desire for you is eternal salvation. Because ultimately, in salvation, there is comfort. But the stuff of the world, it's not. So sometimes you've got to wait. But church, sometimes we got to jump. Sometimes we got to jump. And we don't want to. We don't want to. But you got to, y'all. You got to try something for God. You know, it's funny. We're always pushing, hey, try this, do this. Volunteer here, serve here, go here. Don't ever think, I want to do everything. I don't. But I want to do something. You're not called to jump at everything our church offers. You're not. You are not called to that. But you're called to jump for something. Well, preacher, there ain't nothing y'all do that I want to do. Okay, come talk to me. We'll figure it out. God's leading you to go feed the pygmies in New Guinea. We'll get you there somehow. Pygmies need the sandwich already. No, we'll get you there. We'll get you there. Called to jump. And perhaps you're not at peace because you're not willing to wait. Perhaps you're not at peace because you don't want to jump. Perhaps you're not at peace because you just want to stay right there where you're comfortable. You don't want to jump. Well, how do we know the difference? How do we know? It's a great question. There's no easy answer. You've got to listen. You've got to listen. You've got to learn to listen. Over Thanksgiving, we went on a little nature walk with the kids at the Percy Quinn Park. And survived somehow. Shadow Ball Monster was out there. We got away from them. The young Mike County, there's a monster. Kids, they're not a Shadow Ball Monster. You've seen that. Yeah, yeah. It's got red eyes, red demon eyes. It's a monster in Chattanooga. Don't go to Chattanooga, Mississippi, at night. He's waiting on you. I'm Boy Scouts on. Where's the Boy Scouts? Is that it? Boy Scouts? Who up? Okay. Thank you. I'm out. But we were out there in the woods, and we left our phones at the house. It's me and the kids going to at Holly Vegas. And, we got out in the woods, and I told the kids that y'all just be quiet and listen. You'd hear things that you never hear before. And you'd see things you'd never see before. But you gotta listen. How many of us truly listen for God? I'm not saying how many of us ask God to bless our stuff and ask God to take care of our schedule, but how many of us truly sit there and listen for God? Because you're not going to have this time to sit still unless you're listening. And you're not going to have this time to jump unless you're listening. Sometimes you've got to jump, sometimes you've got to sit still. And I don't always know the difference. I can't always tell you when it's time to do one or the other. But the sovereign God of heaven can. So what you've got to do is you've got to take time in your life to listen. That's what it all comes down to, y'all. You don't know the fullness of time. You don't know when it's Kairos time or chronology unless you're listening. You won't know peace. You won't know what the right thing is unless you were listening. And y'all, the world can do everything in its power to keep you from listening. Your schedule, your time, your events, your circumstance, your everything. Boom, 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 boom. If you're too busy to pray, then you're too busy. I don't know what the answer to that is. I don't know. That means you've got to drop something or create more time or what? I don't know. But I know if you're too busy to listen to the one, the only one, that will ever give you a sense of direction in your life, you're too busy. We have to learn to stop basing our peace off our chronology. Start basing our peace off God's way, off God's time, off God's purpose. Sometimes we gotta wait. Sometimes we gotta jump. All the time we gotta listen. May we learn that in the fullness of time,